So basically, it struck me that both of these papers work very well together in the sense that they're both about Christian, medieval Christian constructions of conversion. So we've talked about trying to define conversion, etc. I think in both papers we have rich material about how medieval authors constructed these conversions to Christianity, or at least how they thought this process should develop. We are perhaps also somewhat closer to practice, or at least practice as desired by ecclesiastical authorities in the Middle Ages, in this session than in some of the other ones. So at least these texts describe what some of these medieval practices supposedly were. I was also struck by the role of earlier textual models in both papers. So this question of biblical models, so creating the Pomeranians as a people, and we modern historians tend to talk about them as if they were always sort of such an entity, but then this failed attempt to equally create another Gens by one author, which just didn't catch on and disappeared completely for Usedom. And in Eric's paper, of course, this question of earlier liturgical texts and sort of models of baptismal rituals that were then kind of reincorporated and used again. But I think the role of these earlier textual models also raises this question of to what extent were these earlier texts adapted to a kind of new situation, a new missionary field, a new area, or imposed on these new areas. I was also struck by another common theme, the creation via texts and via ritual, the creation of holiness in the case of Otto of Bamberg, or the creation of a new Christian in the case, of course, of these baptismal liturgies. Finally, I may not be popular in some circles, but what I would call, I was struck by the arrogance of Christianity, because we had this example of, in an extremely difficult case of ignorance, that of the Avars, we do need to teach them for 40 days, because fewer would not suffice. So we have been talking quite a lot about why medieval people sought conversion or how they were converted, so I thought this was quite an interesting addition to our debates. I have a couple of questions to both of you, and then I will just open the floor. To Eric, I was wondering to what extent Carolingians, and this is kind of referring to Harald Klock's conversion, to what extent Carolingians consciously imitated Byzantine practice, if you have any kind of evidence. So the baptism of chiefs conferring presence, but also linking the baptism to a kind of political alliance was very much practiced in Byzantium. So I wonder, if this was a conscious imitation, or it's just that similar ideas occurred in similar instances. The other question I had for you is, I know we have worked on Scandinavian liturgies as well, so I'm very curious to see how those may be similar or different, or what you can tell us about them. For Staszek, I was wondering if you could develop more why there was this polemical stance between the two authors, both of them from Mikkelsbury Abbey, both of them from the same place. You did say one of them was in favor of the Benedictine tradition and the other in the Cistercian, but I was wondering if there's any other reason for this very different construction of Otto and the kind of open polemics between these two authors. And the other question I had was whether you can say more about this kind of cooperation, because those of you who know the historiography, for more than a century, there has been a huge debate between German and Polish historians claiming that Pomerania was really converted from Germany because the Poles were incompetent, etc. And so Staszek is really kind of innovating by pointing to this collaboration, in a sense, through the person of Otto. So I was wondering if you can develop that a bit more.